Welcome to Motivated to Lead podcast, helping you become a better leader. I'm your host, Mark Klingenstein.
Hi, everyone. Thanks again for joining us for our podcast this week. My name is Mark Klingenstein with SEMA Partners. Each week, we interview leaders and they share lessons learned from their careers. Our goal is to help you become a better leader. This week, we're going to have returning to our podcast, Tim Lupinacci. Tim is the CEO and chair of Baker Donaldson, which is one of the 100 largest law firms in the country. We're going to be discussing his book that has just been released entitled Everybody Leads, How You Lead and Why It Matters. He has some great insights he's going to share around leadership, and know you'll enjoy our conversation today with Tim. And it's great to have Tim coming back as a repeat guest, and we had a conversation some time ago, and appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to talk to us again.
No, Mark, I'm thrilled to be here. I've told you before, and you continue to add a whole lot of value to me listening to your podcast, and so it's always a pleasure to get to hang out and talk a little bit more about leadership.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I know leadership is something that is near and dear to your heart, as it is to mine, and love to hear a little bit about. You've got a brand new book. When I say brand new, it's just being released actually today, right?
Right. That's right. On the day we're recording, it is being released today. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I definitely would love to hear a little bit of the backstory. I think everybody has a book in them, but most people don't take the time and the effort to actually get it on paper. And definitely would love to hear the story of how this book came about, which the title is Everybody Leads, How You Lead and Why It Matters.
Yeah, Mark, you're exactly right. And I fundamentally agree, too, that everyone does have a book in them. It's funny, now that I've been through this process, I'll hear somebody who's a really great storyteller just around like a dinner table. And I keep hearing stories like, you got a book in there. That's amazing. And people are like, no, I can't do it. Well, you definitely can do it. I guess my journey started on all of this back when I was a really young lawyer. I had not had a lot of family members. I didn't have any family members who had gone to law school. I kind of stumbled into law school, and I was now out working for a big firm, and I had a pretty rough boss. He was a yeller, and you kind of didn't want to get in his crosshairs. And he'd give me this large project. I'd worked on it. I turned it in. I went on my way, very transactional. And then I got paged to go to his office. And you knew you didn't want to get paged to Bob's office. But I went in there. He's on the phone, speakerphone, yelling at a bunch of people. A bunch of people on the phone are yelling at him. Then he turns his ire to me. And I pick up through this discussion that the project I'd done, I'd messed up, had a big mistake. So he starts yelling at me and saying, this idiot's going to stay here all night to get it fixed, which is not great leadership, as you know, Mark. And I thought my whole career was gone at that point. I thought I was going to be fired, but I knew I had a long night. And so we fixed it. And then the next morning, we had a court hearing about this information, and I had picked up my boss, and it's pretty awkward silence. And then he did apologize to me for yelling in front of other people. He said he shouldn't have done that. But he said, "Well, I was so upset as I see such great potential in you. I really think you're a leader, Tim, who can help own your career and have a successful career, but even lead in this firm." And that was really the first time I remembered someone speaking leadership into me. So that led me on a really lifelong journey of decades now of really, what does that mean to be a leader? How can I be a leader? How can I get better at it? And then, as you said, somewhere along the way, I've got some folks speaking into me about putting those ideas in a book, and that culminated in Everybody Leads. So
how long did it take you to write the book?
Well, it's interesting. You know, I when I came out of law school, I thought it was going to be the next John Grisham or Scott Turow. And so I actually wrote fiction stuff back then. So I've had that bug to write a book for a long time. But it really, actually, from when I finally got inspired, I'm going to put this stuff on paper. It's been about 4 years from when I started writing. And then, as you know, the editing and then trying to get it out into the marketplace and all of that. So it's a labor of love, as those who've written books, as you know.
Well, for those that are new to the podcast and didn't hear your first episode, talk a little bit about your day job, and you're an author now, but yeah. Tell a little bit about what you do in your day-to-day life.
Yeah, the author piece is sort of a hobby, and it's a labor of love. But my day job, I'm really honored to lead one of the actually largest 100 largest law firms in the country called Baker Donaldson. I'm the CEO and chair. I've been in this role for about 6 years, so it's full time. I really loved practicing law, which I did for 28 years before stepping into this role, mainly in the bankruptcy and solvency space, helping banks, financing sources restructure loans and problems. And mainly the thing that drove me was fixing problems, because that's really what bankruptcy is all about. But I stepped into this role, like I said, 6 years ago, and it's been stressful. It's been tense. We went through a global pandemic. We went through right before the pandemic. We had really plateaued as a firm on a lot of metrics financially and engagement. So we were trying to turn the ship anyway, and then the pandemic hits. And now we've had a robust growth the last several years. So it's been very rewarding, and I really enjoyed doing it. And a lot of the stories, of course, in Everybody Leads are from things I've made mistakes and learned, and hopefully maybe have a practical tip for your listeners that can help them on their journey.
So what are some of the common misconceptions that you think people have about leadership? Your title is Everybody Leads. And yeah. I've talked to a number of people, and it's like, I'm not a leader. And it's like, well, you really are. But talk a little bit about that, some of the misconceptions people have.
I completely agree, Mark. It's funny. I was we were talking earlier about a trip I got to do last year, and I was sitting around a campfire with somebody who I just met, and we were talking about this book that I was had been edited, hadn't been published yet, and I talked about this idea of Everybody Leads, and he's about 40-year executive in a company. He says, everybody doesn't lead. You got to have followers. And so, but as we got to know each other and talk about really unpacking it, then he got on board. It's because it is that misperception that I don't have a title. I don't have a fancy corner office. I don't have authority. I can't boss anyone around or whatever. And I don't think that's – I'm not all about bossing people around anyway. But I don't have the authority to make decisions. I'm not a leader. But really, I define leadership as like having influence and being able to impact others. And so no matter where you are, I mean, we're influencing and impacting people in our family, in our communities, in nonprofits, churches, synagogues, mosques. Certainly around the office. And some of the best leaders I know are people that don't really have a title, but they look for ways to help others. And that's growing their influence. Mark, I read recently about an ancient Roman practice or term that it's Italian. My name's Italian, but I don't speak Italian, but it was something along the lines of anteambulo, which is one who clears the path for others. And I think that's leadership. So if you see a problem, you see something that somebody else has an obstacle or a challenge, and you can somehow help them along their path, that's showing leadership. That's stepping up and making an impact on them. So I think that's the biggest perception, misperception people have is that, I'll be a leader when I get that promotion. But I think, stepping up and improving your impact and your influence today may help you get that promotion if that's your ambition, right?
A lot of our listeners are first-time leaders, first-time CEOs. I think you talk about in the book, and again, I've just gotten my copy, so I've quickly looked over, and I'm looking forward to diving deeper into it. But I know the first section is talking about leading yourself, which it's always the toughest person to lead is yourself. Exactly. Talk a little bit about that, just some of the things, the concepts in that section that you think would be helpful for those that are first-time leaders or people that are thinking about in the future, I'd love to lead others.
Step up. Yeah. Well, thank you, Mark. One of the things I think that we have to all get clear on is, what are our values, I call them North Star values. What are the characteristics I want to show up as a leader every day? And of course, you can go on Google and you can find, a list of most admired leadership traits, and there'll be, hundreds of them. And I've challenged, encouraged people. I do it myself. Look at that list and see what are the things I really hope to emulate in my life, in my leadership journey. And again, I don't think that any one of them is right or wrong necessarily. It's just how do you want to show up? And then to continually check in and see, am I showing up that way? Like I can say I want to be a servant leader, or I want to be a leader who embraces feedback. But then if somebody gives me feedback and I shut them down, then I'm really not living out that value that say I espouse that I want to live by. So I think that's one thing that's really critical. And I know you're well familiar, and I know many of your listeners will be, a couple of professors who wrote the Leadership Challenge, I think Kuzis and Posner. And over like 25 years, they've surveyed employees about what are the traits of the most admired leaders. And over those decades, the top four traits have remained the same, and no matter what geography you're in. And so they're honesty. They want leaders who they can trust, that they're honest. They want a leader who's inspiring, someone that can really encourage you in your journey and help you succeed. They want leaders who are competent, which of course is table stakes. And of course, as you said, your listeners have got that stamp of approval because they're now in this new role. They have the competence, but you have to keep growing that. And then the fourth one is someone who's forward thinking, which is a little bit different than inspiring. Inspiring, I kind of view as in the moment, and forward thinking, like you have a vision where you're heading. And I'm not saying those are the four that every leader needs to, you know, go out and say, those are my leadership characteristics, my North Star. But those are some just to consider that others really look to. And certainly, I think honesty, truth, integrity, that whole bucket has got to be somewhere in the middle of that. So I think finding your North Star is one of them, and then living it out is another thing to do.
So are there some practical things, habits, practices that you think can be applied in people's lives to kind of live this out on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, I mean, Mark, that's one of the things I think has been the hardest part. Not the hardest part in the sense I had to learn from trial and error. And I think each one of us have to figure out what works for us. But I'm a big believer that for us to show up as our best in leading others and showing up in our office or in our community, that we have to take care of ourselves. And we have to lead ourselves, which includes, you know, being curious and growing your skills and your talents. And we can talk about that. But I also think you need to have what I call in my life, it's my daily disciplines. I need to read. I start the day reading. I try to journal. I try to get outside and walk or run. And I got to be very intentional about that. You know, even things like for Tim, for me, and again, it's going to be different for everybody. You know, I got to get to bed early because I'm going to get up early to start my day. And then, like, invariably, like last night, I was out late going to a concert. Like, I was a little off this morning, right? Because I didn't get my full night's sleep. So, and that's going to happen. You're going to have those things. But I think as a leader, we do have to intentionally build into ourselves those practices, those times to take some downtime, to refuel, re-energize, to then show up our best selves. And as I said, the other component of that is to really be intentional about how are you growing your leadership skills? How are you growing your talent? I mean, certainly listening to podcasts like yours are incredible ways to fill your mind with ideas. And what I've always find with that, or you know, certainly books, resources, leadership conferences, whatever, YouTube videos, it's ubiquitous now where you can get content. But not so much, you know, I can read X number of books a year, but what I really look for is there one or two nuggets in that book or listening to this podcast that I can apply in my own journey to get better and how that shows up in my company, which is going to be different than others. So a lot of it comes back to intentionality, discipline, and I really think of those daily actions that will compound over time.
I was listening to a podcast recently, and the person was talking about the importance of white space in your life and your schedule. And yeah. I thought, okay, that's something that I need to pay more attention to, because I think during COVID, we all got used to back-to-back meetings that we didn't have any breaks because we weren't doing the, you know, the trip down the hall. And so to talk about that, have you purposely done that as a leader, put space to think and to reflect on your schedule?
Yeah. No, Mark, you're exactly right. And it's funny because even we were talking about, do I have a hard stop? And I purposefully put a little space after this so that we could, you know, not be pressured to get finished. But no, I haven't in a lot of ways. Some of it is, and again, these are things that worked for me. And I think everyone, you have to kind of figure out what works for you. There were times when I really blocked as a recurring calendar appointment, like the first 90 minutes of every day. And I think I put on there reflection, you know, thinking. Now, every day I violated that probably more often than I used it, but it was a reminder every day that I needed to have some of that white space. I know I realized that I've got this the characteristic that I'm going to just work 24/7, and so I really try to have built in some parameters around that I try to not get on looking at emails from work, you know, after 8 o'clock or before 7 a.m. so I can build in some time for certainly have time with family, but in the morning for those daily disciplines. I've instituted what I call a digital Sabbath every weekend. I try to get offline completely from everything from about 5 o'clock on Saturday to 5 o'clock on Sunday because that worked in my schedule for that period. Now, other executives on our team know if they can text me if some emergency is going on. And I do leave the ringer on the text so that I'll check that. But that's just, again, some time to get down, to have some downtime to refuel and reflect. But, you know, sometimes you think, well, that's a lot. I can't block off 24 hours. I can't shut the thing, my phone down at 8 o'clock at night. But even those, I think micro times, to block off, 15 minutes, go walk around the block or to stare out the window. One of my early influences on my life said the most important thing you'll know about your career is to have enough sufficient staring out the window time. And that doesn't take, 2 hours. But again, it's comes back to intentionality and building in that white space because we all need it. And then we show up better and then we can lead better, I think.
You talk about the importance of curiosity as a leader. Talk a little bit about that as far as I think the challenge for a leader is that everybody expects you to have all the answers.
Right.
Talk a little bit about how to apply that curiosity as a leader into your daily practice.
Yeah, I totally agree, Mark. And maybe you probably experienced this too, because I do a podcast as well, where I'm mainly talking to some clients and things. But I do that because I'm curious. I want to learn from others I want to learn from their journey, because we can learn from everybody. And then I tried to, maybe you could start a podcast, might be a way that you can do that. But really going back to the day-to-day, that it's not, it doesn't necessarily have to be this huge lift, is just going into discussions. I look at everybody I'm going to interact with and say, what can I learn from them? I don't go in like intentionally and say, okay, it's nice to meet you, Stan. What can I learn from you, right? But just thinking about, well, I want to hear about your journey. I want to learn about, what are some things that you're struggling with? What are some things that you're reading? I love talking to people about what they're reading. And even if it's stuff, nothing to do with leadership, that can help fuel your leadership. So I think being very intentional about asking questions. One of the things I love doing, kind of based on Churchill, used to have this idea of dinner table diplomacy. He would get all these world leaders or leaders in various political parties around the dinner table and just spend time with them. Now, he would be, smoking his cigars and drinking his whiskey, which, if that's your thing, go for it. But that would be an opportunity to get to know each other. And I try to do that when I'm visiting offices around our footprint, to take people to lunch, breakfast, dinner, and then just ask questions. How are you doing? How can I help? Are there things that you're struggling with that I can help remove an obstacle? Or going back to what I said earlier, how can I help clear the way for you to achieve your ambitions? So I think just, those are some ways to just remain curious. And again, I think it does come back to, looking and reading and listening to content that can help fuel those mind, fuel your mind, give you ideas, and just go through life with that kind of idea of curiosity. And to your point, you said, Mark, there's this perception that, well, if I've now got the title, I'm now a leader. Like you said, maybe your listeners, first time CEOs, you've got the stamp of approval. I want you to be confident that you are in the position you're in because of the great work you've done to get there. But I also think it's okay to say that, you don't have all the answers. It's okay to ask questions. It's okay to make mistakes and admit it and then say, this is what we learned from this and this is how we're going to pivot. I think that just builds that authenticity and that honesty with people on your team that will then help build loyalty. So there's a lot of things there, but I think I would just encourage you to be confident in the role you're in, but be humble to recognize that, not everyone knows everything, and you can learn from others.
So as the second part of the book is around leading others, and you talk a lot about the influencing others, using encouragement, empathy, and your example to make a difference. I think, I think the influence piece of it, I think a lot of leaders, new leaders, miss. They think, okay, I've got a title, and so my position gives me, as far as authority and ability, but talk about the more important part of it is influence in other people's lives.
Yeah. I mean, and some of it maybe as I'm getting older, but I just realized the thing that really drives me is certainly I've got the obligation to drive our company forward, to have success, to serve our clients with excellence. And we need to do that and continue to get better. But to me, what matters, what really gets me excited is to see other individuals at the firm or on the team accomplish their career ambitions. And the first part of that is I want to know, in order for me to know exactly what their ambitions are, I've got to have that curiosity. I've got to build those relationships. But I think it is really this idea of if I can help build purpose and engagement into our colleagues' lives, into their journey, they're going to better help fuel the organization. You know, I'm a big fan of Daniel Pink and his early book, Drive, really talks about the thing that that motivates colleagues that are on our team or in our organization are autonomy, the ability to be able to thrive and do their best thing, certainly within a corporate umbrella or a team umbrella. Purpose, as I talked about, if you can connect the dots on what you're doing to how they're impacting that, how in some ways people on your team may be changing the world. They certainly can be changing the world of those around them. And then the third is mastery. Like you want to enable that you can help people feel like they're getting better at what they do. So a lot of that professional development, training, skill building is a piece of it. But I just think if we are focused on the individuals and influencing them that they can see that this job, what I'm doing does matter, and that I have a purpose in what I'm doing. If you connect those dots, I think it makes your team more motivated and then helps make the company more successful. So I think, again, it's some of this intentionality is definitely a part of it. You know, as far as, you know, and you mentioned gratitude as well, you know, it's amazing the power of our words. And particularly that was something that as I've gotten into different leadership roles, people are listening to you when you do have that title. Whether you don't, I mean, how you show up does influence others and impacts them, whether you have some big fancy title or not. But when people are listening to your words and they take cues from us, they take cues from you. If you do have that approach of really encouraging people, particularly in the moment, you see someone does something really well, you know, complimenting on them, thanking them for that, you know, short notes of gratitude. I know there's a lot of examples in the books of individuals who just a few simple words of encouragement from someone really changed the trajectory of their lives. Some career-wise, some just not really. I mean, we'll look at my own. I'm Ian Bob saying I should step up as a leader, you know, really help lead me on this journey to become a better leader. So that's another way that we can really impact others and influence others is really trying to influence, express gratitude along the way.
I think I've asked a number of people what their best boss and the characteristics that you described as far as somebody that came alongside that really showed interest in helping that person develop and grow in that role. And I always say people don't quit companies, they quit bosses, that whoever they're reporting to. So that whole idea about retention and helping the organization thrive, that's a big part of it, of somebody that comes alongside. So I
totally agree, Mark. And you know, there's another chapter in the book, and I won't go into all the detail about this idea that we all show up with what I call like a leadership aroma. How we show up every day does influence others. And I'm not talking about, you know, your personal hygiene. But you know, I have to catch myself on this a lot. You know, I can get in here, I have a busy day with stack calls, and I'm just going to run down the hall and get a glass of water to come back for the next call with my head down. And I'm thinking six dozen things I got to get done. And then I walk past like, you know, two or three people that just see Tim with the, you know, sour face and his head's down. And look, he's standoffish, right? And look, we all have horrible, no good, bad days, right? Or whatever that book was. But I can also show up and say, you know, really stop and pause and say, you know, hey, how are things doing? It's your wife's birthday today. I did that a little while ago. Oh, you know, what are y'all going to do for your wife's birthday? Because I happen to know it was today. Not that I have this memory that remembers all that stuff, but I knew he couldn't come to our launch event for the book because it was his wife's birthday. But just stopping, even though I was in the middle of trying to get stuff done, hey, what are you doing tonight? It's that intentionality and that shows up better than if I just scurried past him and ignored him, right? So it's all in that whole idea of motivation and impact and influence.
One of your chapters is leading. It's entitled Leading During the In-Between. Yeah, and I love the title of that chapter, but talk about that, unpack that a little bit. I love that section.
Yeah, and hopefully this will be helpful for some folks on the phone. You know, I really am talking about in the context of a strategic vision. And you know, nowadays it's hard to even think about doing a vision, strategic vision that's more than, you know, 2 weeks because everything changes so quickly. But we're in the middle of a 5-year strategic vision, and you know, a lot of companies, you know, get a strategy. They spend a lot of time, they get a lot of input, and then they put it on the shelf. And then a few years later, they go, "Oh yeah, what was that vision? What were we doing?" So we've really tried to lean in and really make that front and center. And we're now in year 4 of the vision. But you know, you realize, as anyone who's been through this, when you launch the vision, there's a lot of fanfare. Everyone's excited, you know, if you do it right, and everyone's great. And then if you're near the end, you're like, okay, we're about to get to the finish line. And if you have some, like, I think any good strategy needs to have some metrics and some goals, and you're hopefully getting close to the goal line, you're going to accomplish these goals. There's a lot of excitement, but that sort of messy middle of those years, like for us, it's, you know, 3 years in between those two bookends. How do we keep people engaged? How do we keep them motivated? So we've really worked hard to say, like, after year 1, what are some lessons we learned? We had a good uplift. You know, we got off sort of the rocket ship launch pad, but how do we get it into, you know, into the atmosphere? Well, these principles work, but some people aren't really like owning their perspective impact in Baker Vision, which is what we call it. So now we start in the middle, leading during the in-between. We've started saying, okay, well, now how can we implement that you own your piece of this, right? So it's trying to keep folks motivated. Again, the mission has to be something that people see are paying dividends. You may have to tweak your mission. You may have to tweak your you know, strategy. But if it's working, it's then how do we make it refreshed and renewed within the umbrella during these years in the middle? So I've really unpacked that a little bit. And frankly, we're living it. So hopefully some of the ideas will work, including some places where we failed. So just learn and grow.
Yeah. Well, I think it sounds like you've continued to have the mindset of, I think you describe it as multiplying the impact as far as of what leadership, how it can make a huge impact on an organization and on an individual. And so I definitely love the book. And I'm wanted to find out, as you're thinking about all the things that you put in the book, any favorite story that you shared that you think encapsulates kind of what a leader does, or whether it's in the book maybe it's for your next book.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is funny, Mark, you know this, as you're, now that this one's launching, I'm already thinking towards the next one. But no, I really, the one thing that really impacted me the most, and I know I talk about when I'm talking to somebody, you know, a group, you know, in person, I don't feel like I'm pointing the finger at you saying, you know, go influence everyone better, be a big impact. And I may feel that way, but I have 3 fingers pointing at me because I need to hear this, you know, when you're doing that. So one thing that really did speak to me as I unpacked it is that idea around leadership aroma. And that really came from a professor at the London School of Economics. And he was from Calcutta, India. And he talked about how the only time he had off from teaching was in the summer. And he'd go home and visit his family. But in Calcutta, in the middle of the summer, it's hot, you know, 105 degree, 100% humidity. You're lethargic. You don't feel like doing anything. You just want to lie around all day. And he compared that to a spring when he got to teach in South France, Southern France. And he said there's a place there called Fontainebleau Forest. And he said in the springtime, you're walking through this forest. You have a spring in your step. I mean, there's a nice breeze. It's a cool air. There's flowers, all the greenery. He says, and each of us show up that day. Are we showing up as like summer in Calcutta or spring in Fontainebleau Forest, and how we just show up, how we're interacting with our colleagues? And so that's something that, again, the whole premise that all of us are leading in some capacity, regardless of we got that corner office. So how are we each showing up every day and interacting with those around us? Because you can make a huge difference in somebody else's life if you're showing up, trying to help them, help influence them. So that chapter really resonated with me, mainly because I needed to hear it as I was writing it.
Sure. So I need to ask you this question. I think I asked you last time. What are you, maybe you're not reading as much, I'm sure finishing up your book and launching it is occupying a lot of your time, but anything that you've read since our last conversation, or one that you think, besides your book, definitely put that on the list for reading, but anything that you've
Oh yeah, I'm always reading. I just finished. I think there's a lot of great lessons for leaders through biographies. And I've been a Ron Chernow fan for a long time, and his new book is Mark Twain. And I just finished it. Now it's huge. I mean, I think one of the reviewers said it's longer than War and Peace. It's really fascinating. But that's good. I think we've talked before, and I can't remember if I've mentioned this, but Liz Wiseman, Impact Players, has been a big influence on us and on our journey in what we're doing. I just finished. John Gordon has written several great books, including The Energy Bus, but he has a new one that I literally just saw it in the airport and picked it up and breezed through it, about the 7 commitments of a team, which is really good. John Acuff, All It Takes Is a Goal, is something that has really been beneficial. So those are some of the things recently, but also some biographies as well along the way.
Yeah, well, great. Well, tell people how they can learn more about your work, what you're doing. Definitely, again, make sure you pick up a copy of Everybody Leads, but tell them how to find your podcast as well as your work.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty much, I guess you could say, I'm not as creative as others. My podcast is called Everybody Leads, like the book. Sure. So you can find that there on Apple and everywhere. And then I do have everybodyleads.org, has a lot of content from the book. I do some nonprofit teaching of some of these leadership principles, and that's why it's there. And I'm at bakerdonaldson.com, and I'm on LinkedIn, and that I'm always glad to talk and interact with people. But and the book is on Amazon, and so if there's any way I can help, I'm glad to always talk about leadership, and I really appreciate you, Mark.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I appreciate you taking time out of a very busy week, and wish you success with the book and all that you're doing. Definitely appreciate your desire to help others become better leaders.
Well, thanks, Mark.
Thank you for listening to the Motivated to Lead podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes. You can also see a video version of this interview at motivatedtolead.com. This podcast is brought to you by SEMA Partners, helping you find your next great leader.